Lord, we give you praise and glory, adoration. We bow in your presence, Lord. Lord, touch us with your word today. I ask that you tenderize our hearts and you open our ears, give us spiritual ears to hear. Lord, it may not even be what I say, but Lord God, give us ears to hear your voice. We thank you for that. You're our Savior, came as this infant child. You've done everything that could be done at that time, and Lord God, you have faced every temptation that we have faced, and still you are sin free. Thank you for that. You're the only one that could have died for us. We give you praise. Lord, bless this time. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many years ago, a Jewish lady named Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded late one night, and she ended up at a fashionable resort, one that did not admit Jews. The desk clerk looked down at his book and said, "Sorry, no room. The hotel is full." The Jewish lady responded, "But your sign says that you have vacancies." Stammering, the desk clerk then answered curtly, "You know that we do not admit Jews. Now, if you will try the other side of town." Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened noticeably and remarked, "I'll have you know I converted to your religion." "Oh yeah," snorted the man. "Let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born?" She replied, "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," said the hotel clerk. "Tell me more." Mrs. Rosenberg answered, "Jesus was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was he born in a manger?" Irritated, Miss Rosenberg shouted, "Because a jerk like you in the hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night." Young Eddie was spending Christmas with his grandparents. And Christmas morning, the family went to church. While they were waiting to go inside, Eddie checked all the announcements and viewed the pictures along the wall. When he came to a group of pictures of men in uniform, he asked a nearby deacon, "Who are all those men in the pictures?" The deacon replied, "Well, those are our boys who died in the service." Dumbfounded, Jonathan asked, "Was it the Carolyn service or the Christmas Day service?" You do know what would happen if it had been three wise women instead of men, don't you? They would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought disposable diapers as a gift.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 7. There's lots of Christmas jokes out there. Luke chapter 7, chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse number 7. I haven't heard an amen. Okay. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. Amen. Many of you have read or watched The Grinch Who Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. The story goes, the mean old Grinch hated Christmas and did whatever possible to eliminate the Christmas celebration altogether. But there's one particular part in the movie and in the book that I really like. This is what it says. "It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more?" Amen. Ain't that good? That's good. Most of us would be quick to agree, at least in theory, that Christmas does mean a whole lot more than what comes from the store. Amen. The word Christmas literally means Christ's Mass. And that was coined in A.D. 1038 and carries a very detailed record going back as far as history in the second century. There's little evidence to suggest that the first century church celebrated the birth of Christmas as a feast day or festival, although the virgin birth of Jesus was an important part of their creed and doctrine. Christians have viewed Christmas in various ways from various perspectives. Some outright reject Christmas, calling it a pagan holiday, while others insist that Jesus was conceived during the spring equinox, March 25th, 9 months prior to the winter solstice, December 25th. Some suggest that early believers utilized the Christian culture in which they lived to introduce the Savior of the world to all the pagans around them. The winter solstice was referred to by John Chrysostom, an early church father. He is quoted as saying, "They call it the birthday of the unconquered. Who indeed is so unconquered as our Lord?" I'm not suggesting that I have any authority or final word on how you should celebrate Christmas. But it is important at this season of the year to look at what we refer to as the Christmas story. And it's at this time that we should remember that Father God offered us His love and kindness through the gift of His Son. Goodwill or favor is defined as friendly or kind regard, approval, blessing, acceptance. God gave us goodwill. He gave us favor. Amen. When God's favor rests on you, it means that you are accepted by Him, free to have close fellowship with Him, enjoying His company, and becoming His friend. Rather than painting a picture of an angry, brooding God, the Christmas story reminds us that our Father God really does love us. Amen. He looks on us favorably and wants the very best for us. And perhaps equally important is to recognize that the favor of God is not exclusive. God doesn't play favorites, but offers His mercy to all who will receive Him. All who will receive Him. Remember, the angel declared peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So let's consider some thoughts this morning. Some thoughts in regard to God's favor, His goodwill toward men. Amen? All right. Because of God's favor, the good news is for everyone. The good news is for everyone. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Here's the good news, saints. Here's the good news. God wants to be your friend. God wants to be your friend. No longer should you fear God's wrath and judgment. No longer. Instead, receive His friendship. The angel announced the good news of great joy extended to all people. All people. God's favor available to everyone? Yes. To the rich, upper class, middle class, blue collar, white collar, poor, to the down and outers, to sinners, to people living in immorality, to people addicted to drugs or alcohol, to people who are black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and so on, to people who are suffering from depression, and to people who have been tossed aside and feel worthless. God says to the person who comes to the end of himself or herself, "I accept you. I love you. I want to help you. I have sent you someone who will be with you." Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God is not our accuser, folks. Satan does enough of that. Amen. Rather, God has a plan to reconcile man to Himself. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God is for us and not against us. God is for us and not against us. He offers His goodwill, approval, affection, and acceptance. Wow. You don't know anybody else that does that. He offers His love, and He offers it freely to everyone. Freely to everyone. Bible says the Savior's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus came so that we might be reconciled to the Father and receive His favor. But how should we respond to such an amazing gesture from someone so awesome and so perfect? Well, please contemplate this next point. The good news elicits praise. The good news elicits praise. Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I think it was neat that there was some awesome praise going on even before Jesus was born. Amen? To see for yourself, check out Luke 1, where Mary went and met Elizabeth. And the scripture tells us they broke out in praise over God's plan for the world. Amen. Mm. Now, several months later, on the very night Jesus was born, the praise continues. Praise continues, folks. The angels appeared in the heavens singing and announcing the birth of Jesus, God's gift to mankind. And what an incredible sight. I try to put myself in the shepherd's place sometimes, but I can't. It would just be overwhelming what they saw. They're astonished by the event. This has never happened before. Never happened before. I wonder if those shepherds were speechless, perhaps stunned for a while. Wow. I like to think that those heavenly hosts just couldn't help themselves, simply broke out into spontaneous praise, honoring the one to whom all glory belongs. Amen. Amen. All glory belongs to the Lord Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, tells us about a Savior, Jesus the Messiah, the Lord. The Son of God, whose residence was in the highest heaven, became a tiny baby, so small and seemingly insignificant compared to his royal position. Jesus entered this world, becoming an earth dweller, so that one day you and I could reside in the highest heaven with him. As the announcement was declared by one angel who appeared to the shepherds, all of heaven erupted in praise to God for showering his kindness and favor on the little people on the little blue planet. Amen. Surely this was not rehearsed, but an impromptu choral event heard throughout the heavens. Do you think Gabriel might have instructed the multitude of angels assigned to this glorious event? Okay, everyone, this is your cue. This is your cue. As soon as I say lying in a manger, you are to appear suddenly and then begin praising God in unison. We really want to put on an exceptional show for these shepherds. So on the count of three, let's recite our lines. Glory to God in the highest. I don't believe there was any rehearsal needed. I don't believe they had to prepare. I think that all of heaven was so ecstatic over God's amazing love for all the little people that they spontaneously burst onto the scene shouting and singing praises. Spontaneously. Amen. Maybe there were so many angels leaning over the balcony of heaven that it just gave way and down they went. I don't know. They're curious, though. These angels are curious about us earthlings. They're curious about the relationship we have with Almighty God. They just want to understand this connection. And in 1 Peter 1:12, the last half of that verse says, things which angels desire to look into. That's the things of salvation in which only humans can participate. Angels can't participate in salvation. But we can, brothers and sisters. And we need to rejoice over it. Now, praise is the right response to the favor of God. It is right and fitting to worship God's Son. Right and fitting. The ultimate expression of God's favor to the inhabitants of the earth. We respond by praising God for his favor. So praise is the right response. And what did the shepherds do? They believed what they heard. They acted on the instruction given. They spread the word concerning these events. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 20 of our text, the shepherds said, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Hallelujah. What obedience. Now, let me ask you, why is it that new Christians are often so filled with excitement and joy, eager to praise God? Because they just received the best news of their life and have found favor with God Almighty. Amen. God accepts the new believer, offering him forgiveness, cleansing, and transformation. And what is his response? Praise, adoration, worship, exuberance, singing, gratitude, obedience, trust, and even passion. Hallelujah. Some of us need to remember that day. Amen. When we live in God's favor and are in right standing with Him, praise is ignited within us, and it flows from our lips and from our lives. Hallelujah. It flows from our lips and our lives, brothers and sisters. It flows from our lips and our lives. I remember how I praised God because of Dave. And Dave isn't God. And far from it. Just think of what we need to do for our Savior, our Lord and Savior, because every day is a miracle. Every day is a miracle in your life. I often think about how many times we come close to an accident that would take us out. How many times a day, how many times a week are we protected from something terrible?
That's right. Amen.
Well, saints, the good news is for everyone. The good news elicits praise. And finally, the good news shows that God's peace and favor are available to all. Are available to all. Now, I want to show you something. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 14 of the New Living Translation. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. What's the condition to praise God? Nobody know? With whom God is pleased. Okay. Now do the New King James Version. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, does that look like there's any conditions allowed in this relationship with God? Same verse in two different translations. A lot of times we find some difference between the different translations. It's not something to get freaked out about, but sometimes the different translations prompt different ideas, right? It looked like the first verse looked like there was a group of people that were accepted to God. And the second time, it looks like everyone is accepted to God, right? All right, so this verse is one of those that show a little difference. Was the good news of peace on earth only available to those who had been chosen to by God as His favorites? No. Let's consider how these translations differ. In the Greek language, the word for goodwill is eudokia. Eudokia. That's probably not right, but you get it. Eudokia. In a variant spelling of the word, there's an added sigma, which is equivalent of an S. So the word becomes eudokios. Eudokios. Adding the S changes the case that this is written in. With the S, it is in the genitive case. Without the S, it's in the nominative case. It's used as a subject there. And when it has the S, it's a descriptive and it's preceding. So why the difference? Why the difference? The short answer is there's more than one Greek manuscript which our Bibles have been translated from. There are minor differences among them. Some translators lean on certain manuscripts for various reasons, and some rely on others. These variations do not change any of the major teachings of the Bible, but some would appear to be more accurate than others. So can you trust your Bible? Yes. Yes. Make sure it's a recognized translation of the Bible, not a paraphrased version. Now, this word for goodwill with its variant spelling actually represents two competing worldviews in the first century. A group of Jews called the Essenes believed that they had been chosen as sons of light and everyone else was sons of darkness. God predetermined who belonged in which group by His will alone, not by actions of obedience, and His glory was demonstrated by His salvation of the sons of light that He had chosen, as well as His judgment against everyone else. And the Essenes also assumed that since God must hate the sons of darkness, then they should hate them too. So the Essenes believed that they were men of His goodwill, men of His favor. God had chosen them as favorites. However, Jesus came with a different message, that God's goodwill and peace were available to all people. To all people. There were no favorites. Whoever will may come. Whoever will may come. Was God's peace only available to the few, the proud, the Essenes, or does His offer of peace and favor go out to all who will receive? Amen. Amen. All who will receive. According to the angels, the group, the good news was for all people, not a specified or select group. When you read the Bible, you need to read it in context. You need to read the Bible and know the Bible, know the basic context of the Bible, so you can put things in perspective if you run into verses like this. The prophet Isaiah had spoken 700 years earlier about the Messiah, referring to Him as the Prince of Peace. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then the first part of verse 7, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end." No end. We can have peace with God because God loves us and favored us. He sent His Son Jesus to the earth to die for us. Peace is available to us when we believe in Jesus and trust His work on the cross. When we are forgiven and set free from the bondage of sin, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and brings us the peace of God. Isn't that great? How many in here experience the peace of God? Amen. 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 We can enjoy that supernatural peace because we belong to God Almighty. We belong to Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So remember, brothers and sisters, God has offered His kindness and goodwill to all mankind so that the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas can be a blessing for everyone. Everyone. The Father will accept you as His own, offering a close friendship, acceptance, and approval. And if and when you accept God's offer of His favor, your response will be one of praise to Him for who He is. God, the highest in the highest heaven, the one who created you, the one who blesses you, the one who loves you. And where once there was turmoil and restlessness, we can experience peace. The blessing of God's favor and the gift of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Folks, respond to the Lord today. Receive His favor. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. His favor. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. To those who believe in His name. We have the right to be children of God, friends with Him, and have a close relationship. Now, I'd like you to stand to your feet and bow your head a minute. If you need to receive the gift of God's favor this morning, I just want you to raise your hand where you are. Amen. 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 Well, let's pray together. There's a number of hands were raised. Amen. Lord, Your favor is special.
Yes, it is.
Lord, Your favor comes to people who reach out to You, who accept Your sacrifice, Lord God. Your favor comes because we're people. And You purchased our salvation.
Yes,
God. You purchased our life. Lord, You even ordain our life. You control us, Lord. You put in our path what You desire for us to do. Lord, sometimes we miss that. We make the wrong choice. Lord, help. Yes, help us. Lord, we want to walk with You. We want Your favor more and more and more. Let it rest on us, Lord Jesus. Let it rest on us. Let us know we can depend upon You. Let us know that You've got our best interests in mind. Let us know that You give us great and wonderful gifts. And let us know that our life is completely changed because of Your influence in that life. Jesus, we love You. And we thank You for Your favor, Lord. What a treat. What a Christmas treat. What a Christmas present to realize that You love us unconditionally. Agape love is unconditional. They love us if we're the worst sinner. You love us, Lord God, if we're just good old people.
Thank You.
You love us, God, no matter what. No matter what we've done or where we've done it, Lord God, You love us. And You want the best for us. So to receive that, You shower favor on us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we can receive it. Lord, You broke heaven wide open when You sent those angels to proclaim Your birth. What a great and glorious event that was. Talk about a life change. Those shepherds had a life change. And they received Your favor. They said, God is for us, not against us. God is for us and not against us. So, Lord, let favor fall on us where it's evident. Let our face crack become a smile. Because all is well. All is well in our life. Even in the hard moments, all is well. Because the one that matters loves us. The one you can trust loves us. And he sent Christmas to show us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your favor. We praise you, Lord. Especially touch the hearts of those people that raise their hands. Let them receive your favor even now, right now. You know, our natural tendency is to say, but. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Jesus, keep sending your favor on us. And as a people, we'll praise you. We'll worship you, Lord. Magnify your name. We give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake some hands and hug some necks, folks. Yes, somebody holler.